This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. Please open your King James Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 153, where we left off last time. Psalm 119, verse 153. Now, this particular psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms, which means these are the words of God. This majestic work of art, Psalm 119, is the longest chapter in the Bible. And the whole theme is God's word to mankind and how man is supposed to respond to God's word. It has 22 sections. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has a Hebrew letter for its title. And the secret, the acrostic, something hidden for the elect in here, is that the sacred name of God is hidden here in the manuscripts 22 times. And that would be the name of our Lord in the Hebrew, Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. It's Yahweh. If you're going to be married to Christ, you might as well get your husband's name right. Now, just before we begin this magnificent work of art, I want to thank all of you who are calling me on the telephone for prayer, all of you who are listening by radio, internet. I love you. I just bless you. Keep those calls coming. My announcer will give you my number at the end of this program. I do get your calls, and every one of you, I bring your name specifically before our Father every day of my life. God bless you. And I also want to invite all of you to come here to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. I always teach one book of the Bible at a time, chapter, verse, line by line, and we have prayer. We have prayer for America. We have prayer for healing. We have prayer for you. My school is Sherry Medlock School. The Sherry is S-H-A-R-I, Medlock School, Coco, Florida. And the address is 916 Florida Avenue. So I want you to come. And I love all of you. And for those of you who are calling and tell me you love me, I love you too. Now, let's hear God's voice. Now, we're under the alphabet name in Psalm 119, Resh. And this is equivalent to our R in the English alphabet. Now, listen carefully, because this is for you. The title of Resh is A Prayer for Faithfulness in Times of Distress. Now, to bring it up to today's prophecy, we are the generation of the fig tree. Be you 5 or 105, Jesus told us that in Mark 13. And we shall usher in the second coming of Jesus. The Antichrist comes first. So what this is, elect, those of you who are not going to be deceived, who are not going to participate in the apostasy, not going to fall off to the false Christ, it's a prayer for God's elect to remain faithful during the great tribulation of Antichrist. Anti, the instead of Christ, the false Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. So this will help all of you, very pertinent to you. Here we go, Resh.
Resh 153. Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law.
Now, during the tribulation, when Antichrist is here, remember he's coming back pretending to be Christ, so he's going to say peace and safety. The whole world will go after him, Revelation 13, and half of the body of Christ, because half of the body of Christ have no oil in their lamp. That means no light, no truth. The affliction here is that he's not cutting our heads off. It is that we are feeling like a lone sparrow on a rooftop because the whole world is calling him God. Half the body of Christ, the churches on every corner mostly, are calling him God. And so it will be a great affliction for us. He says, deliver me. Now, the word deliver is in God's word many, many, many times. but it has 25 different meanings in the manuscripts. This particular meaning of the word deliver here is halas, which means rescue gently. You know, the book of Jude says it's a time to take somebody by the neck or the ears or the legs and yank them out of the fire. As my mother used to say, slap them up one side and up the other. Come on, don't go to hell. And then there's a time to rescue someone gently, as the prophet Jeremiah was rescued gently. The great prophet Jeremiah was let down into a sewer in a pit, mud up to his ears. He was left there to die hungry and thirsty by, shall I say, the church folks. But along came a good Samaritan and threw down a rope. However, it was a very deep pit. And to pull the weight of almost dead Jeremiah up, those ropes would have cut his arms and hurt him. So to rescue him gently, the good Samaritan threw some rags, cloths, and he put them under his arms, and then he was rescued gently. When Jesus came the first time, our Passover lamb, he was like a sheep led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He rescued us then from death because he paid the sin debt, but he did it gently.
154, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word.
Now there's another deliver, and this is da'al in the Hebrew, and this is redeem me. So when the Antichrist is here, and only the elect, a very small number, 7,000 on planet Earth, it's a spiritual number, but very small in comparison to all the others, only the elect will know that that's not Jesus. And so we're going to get a little antsy here. We'll say, hurry, Jesus, and come and redeem us. Now, when Jesus does come after the Antichrist at the seventh trump, this time the redeeming is a symbol of a lion. He came and rescued us gently as the lamb. But he's coming back, the lion, the tribe of Judah in the sky, with a cup of wrath, 7 vials, pouring it out on all who have worshipped the Antichrist. Although you've been going to church all of your life, Christ Jesus is our nearest kinsman redeemer. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The first time gently, but the next time with great power.
155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes.
In last week's lecture, verse 150, it says the wicked are far from God's word. And he was talking prophetically of the apostasy which has already taken place. That is mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the great falling away. Christians themselves will fall away from the truth. Oh, they'll call it the word. You look how many people say, hear the word, and I mean, maybe you get one verse. It's not one verse and 3 points, the great falling away. And so he says to deliver us from that apostasy. And he says those who do that are going to fall into the arms of Antichrist, because Antichrist is coming in the sky, the devil with his Jesus costume on. Revelation 12 is going to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, 2 horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. And so they're going to fall off of there. Why is that? Because you are far from the word. You know what 2 Thessalonians 2 said? They'll fall off because they love not the truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, you say you love Jesus, but do you love enough to open that Bible and study one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, get it all, the whole mystery? Because if you do, you would not be deceived.
156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment.
This quicken is used over and over in this psalm. It's so beautiful. It means make alive. It means to heal. And here it means to refresh. Even now, with the darkness that is all over the world, very little light, and the great apostasy in the church, and the deception in our country and in this world, and the evil taking over, we all need to be refreshed. Paul says, be washed with water by the word of God. Now that's a shower that will refresh you. You should be anointed with fresh oil. You wash yourself in the word. So many of you keep saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, this is so hard, this is so hard. Listen, it's hard for all of us, but you know how we do it? We stay in the word. We put our eyes in the word. We say it out of our mouth. We just meditate on the word day and night. It is life to all those that find them. quickening word. Be refreshed by the word of God. That's how we're going to get through it. That's how you get through it now.
157. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimony.
As the Antichrist is here and is the God of the whole earth, and the one world order is established, and there'll be a great revival in all of the Christian churches around us. Watch the radio, watch television, except they'll be worshiping the false Christ. Remember, the devil is going to pretend to be Jesus. We're going to feel very much alone, like a fish going upstream, because Jesus said in Mark 13 that the brothers and sisters, the family of God, will turn the elect in. And some of them will be glad to do it, and some of them will do it because they think you're doing your favor. The daughter shall turn the mother to death, the mother shall turn the daughter to death, the father, the brother, the sister, death's name is the devil. And the Antichrist is Mr. Death himself, the devil. So Christians, because you love not the truth and knew not the word and knew not the hour of your visitation and didn't love God enough to hear every word of God, you turn your own beloved person in to the devil, and you think that you're delivering them to Jesus. Lord have mercy. Sincerity can lead you to hell.
158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word.
The transgressors here in the Hebrew means to cover with a blanket, the great cover-up, doing something under a blanket that's covered up, not transparent, behind closed doors, peace treaties. And one lady said, you got to read the bill to find out what's in it. Now, the great cover-up is the lie-fly proverb. God says in Ezekiel 13, I hate those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. In 1832, there was a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, who said, oh, I think I've got a vision. I believe it's evil. Let's see, it must be the devil. No, I think it's Jesus. She's demented. And she said, oh, Jesus is coming to fly us away, caught up in the air. Two itinerant preachers heard it, brought it to America. It's the great cover-up. Caught up in the air means to change into the breath of the spirit body, which is what we'll all do when Jesus comes. We can't precede our loved ones, 1 Thessalonians 4, because they've already gone. They've already resurrected, saved or lost or whatever they are. They've stepped into their spiritual bodies. And so that's the great cover-up. And that is what is going to deceive half the body of Christ. It is the devil's gospel being preached, and they mean well. But once again, meaning well can lead you to hell.
159, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. 160, thy word is truth from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
The great Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was, the Word is, the Word always shall be. Before there was ever a body, before God made himself a body and called himself Jesus and came to earth, before there was a book with a cover on it called the Bible, before there was flesh, there was the Word. And a word makes a sound, and the word is God. He was, he is, he always shall be. If you're in the word, not one verse and 3 points, not a book about the book, not a devotional book, not a quarterly, those have their place, but no, every word of God, mystery of God, then you shall endure forever.
Sheen 161.
Now we come to the Hebrew letter Sheen. There is no English letter equivalent to this, but it is equivalent to our SH sound in English. Now the title of Sheen is Yahweh's Word. Remember, Yahweh is the correct name to pronounce the sacred name of our Lord, the covenant name of our Lord, Yahweh. Let's all say it, Yahweh. It is not Jehovah. It is not Yahweh. You won't go to hell for saying that, but you need to learn your Father's name. Yahweh's Word brings peace and comfort. So see, these lessons tonight are for you. You are going to face the Antichrist. And if you fall off to him, that's the unforgivable sin. You don't let the Holy Spirit speak to you, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And you're the generation of the fig tree. And God chose us before the foundation of the earth. He can trust us in the spirit body, and he can trust us now. So, during the tribulation of Antichrist, where do you find peace and comfort? Yahweh's word.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word.
The princes here means human world leaders who work together to prepare the one world order. It's already happening. I hope you're watching the news, because it's happening. You'd be surprised, some of you who voted for some of these people who are actually getting the one world order together, preparing it for their father, the Antichrist, the devil. And these leaders, there are 10 of them, Revelation says, human beings. And of course, they are going to be setting up this kingdom. They're already doing it. That's why the power is by Satan and his children being moved away. America's being diminished so this one world order can take place, so the Antichrist can come and be God of the whole world. Now, when Satan comes as Antichrist, Revelation 12, he will be kicked out of heaven by Michael. See, he's coming in the clouds too. See the trick? And he's going to bring some fallen angels with him. Boy, are they leaders. They also will put the fear of God in you. But they're going to be preaching in the Christian churches and deceiving you and turning you to worship their father. Now, you know, you don't have to be deceived. You can wait for the true Christ. You just heard it here.
62, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil.
Spoil means treasure. In Bible times, when God's children went and fought the enemy that was trying to annihilate them, as the enemy is trying to annihilate God's children right now here on planet Earth, God would give them the victory, and then they were allowed to take what they call the spoils. That means they got the gold and the silver and the cattle. But I can tell you, if you only have $3.93 left in your bank account because you've given it all away to God, you are the richest person in the world if you have this Bible, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. If your eyes have been opened to know every word of God, the mystery of God, the first earth age, the second earth age, the third earth age, the seduction in the garden, the fallen angels, the Kenites, the Mamzars, what's going on in America, the raiser of taxes, it is right in there, and the order of the seven trumps. Oh, what a treasure we have in earthen vessels. How rich we are who have God's word.
63, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love.
I hate the lie proverb that's going to cause Christians who stay babies all their life and think that church is one verse and 3 points and a pancake breakfast and a social thing and looking for some friends. I hate the lie that's going to deceive all of the world. Well, the world will be deceived simply because they're looking for somebody to pay their bills. But the church is going to be deceived because you believe the cover-up. I hate lies, but thy truth I love. As the psalmist said last time, or week before last, he said, how love I thy law.
164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment.
Now, 7 in biblical numerics is the number of spiritual perfection. Just like there are 7,000 elect only on planet Earth right now who will not bow the knee to Satan. But it doesn't mean a specific number. It means would be 7,000 whose eyes are open and spiritually perfected enough that you won't be deceived. So he means here that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I praise the Lord. You know, Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. And you want to learn. Remember, God can read your mind. You actually keep that line open 24 hours a day. It can be done. And that you actually are praying to him all the time. He's communing with you. You're communing with him. The reason some of you get into so much trouble, you hang up the phone to God.
165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Now, I know some of you are scratching your head on that. Wait a minute. Now, you know, law is one of those 10 words I gave you last time that's in this psalm. And law means word. So he says here, great peace have they which love thy word. And then it says, nothing shall by any means offend them. Now, some of you say, well, I love God's word, but I'm offended when I see ISIS cutting off Christians' head. I'm offended when I see that poor man locked in a cage and burned to death. I'm offended when the leader of our country is making a treaty with the very enemy that says death to America. I'm offended by the life lie proverb. I'm offended by people calling church when it's not church. Aren't you? Yes. So what does this mean? Is God's word wrong? No, that's not what it says in the manuscripts. Here's what it says. It's a very poor translation in English, but in the manuscripts it reads, and they shall not stumble. They shall have no stumbling block. Those who fear the Lord, revere the Lord, his word, that would mean, once again, it's not a sermon. It's not one verse and 3 points. You've got to understand that man made that up. Paul said, read this epistle in the church. Isaiah said, line by line. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And if you have that, then you will not stumble. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter calls Jesus the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. Christians who believe the lie fly proverb and fall off into the arms of the first one, beautiful one coming in the sky, saying peace and safety, causing craft to prosper, doing signs and lying wonders. When they fall off to him, they are going to worship him, but they are going to stumble then over the true stone, because Satan, in Ezekiel 28, his name is Tyrus, means which false rock. They're going to stumble, fall into the devil's arms, and then when the real Jesus comes after that, he won't have anything to do them. They will have stumbled. They will have fallen. You be careful. You worship the devil and say you love Jesus. There is no excuse. He wrote you a love letter, an instruction book. If we had not let traditions of men and lies come in, it's so simple a child can read it. A child knows 6 comes before 7. 7 is Jesus. 6 is the devil. But the devil will look like Jesus, act like him, and he is going to play it to the hilt because of the lie fly proverb.
166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandment. 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly.
Exceedingly, here with my whole heart. You know, if you say you love Jesus, you really would love his word. So many people say, oh, I love Jesus, but I never read the Bible. No, 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 you don't love Jesus. They're the same. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word made himself a body, but the Word also put himself in ink in a book. Amen. So see, they're the same. The Word of God. If you love that, you would have passion. There is no place in the future heaven on earth for Christians who do not passionately, passionately love the Word of God. Remember, this is a love story. Nobody wants a frigid lover.
168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.
In other words, as Antichrist is here, we'll say, Lord, I am just holding your word close to my heart, because I know, as Hagar said, thou God seest me. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, God says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord going to and fro on the face of the earth, trying to find someone in whom he can be strong. Is it you? Now we come to the last Hebrew letter and the last section of this magnificent Psalm 119. Tav is the sign of the cross and is equivalent to our English T. Do you remember in Exodus when God told Moses to tell every family to kill that perfect lamb and take the blood and put it on the lintel, which means down, and the two side posts, and the Hebrew there reads, make the sign of the Tav, the cross. And he says, when I see the blood of the cross, death will pass over you. Now, this is the last section, and we've learned that the great good King Hezekiah was used by God to pen this magnificent psalm. So we have petitions and statements by the psalmist, who is good King Hezekiah, king of the house of Judah. There were 12 tribes. There are still 12 tribes. They were split then. They are split now. Two of them the house of Judah then, two of them the house of Judah now. And Benjamin Netanyahu visited us, the house of Judah. But then there are the 10 tribes, the house of Israel, the larger bulk now being in the United States of America. But you have not been told who you are because you've been going one verse and 3 points.
69. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word.
Precious King Hezekiah, he was in a cage. King of Assyria, Sennacherib, and his top general, Rabshakeh, had told him, we have taken 46 fenced cities of Judea. We're coming to Jerusalem, and you're a bird in a cage. And I'm sure, like the generation that has followed them of the devil's children, they were planning to burn him in that cage. It was hard for Hezekiah. Sometimes you're surrounded by the devil in the deep blue sea. But you know what? God can part the sea and beat up on the devil.
170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word.
Now this one really is how Jesus is going to come. Deliver me according to thy word. See, we're going to get so, we say, Lord, have mercy. This is so hard. Everybody on the church, they have a revival. Every time I go to the store, a Christian says, isn't it wonderful Jesus is here? And we know it's the devil. And this word deliver in the Hebrew means pluck me out of the hand of the enemy. Hurry, come and get me out of here. Get me out of this trouble. Not out of this world, but out of this trouble. Because remember, Jesus is coming on planet Earth. He said, stay in the field. Matthew says the field is the world. If you go out, then you're not where Jesus is. And so Jesus is coming at the end of the Antichrist tribulation, and he's going to pour out 7 bowls of wrath. If you're an elect not deceived, it won't hurt one hair of your head. Hallelujah. Now that's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is coming back. Now incidentally, we know that the tribulation of the Antichrist was originally 7 years. Everybody remember that? Now Daniel shortens it. Daniel says times, times, and half times, which is 3.5 years. Then Jesus came along in Mark 13 and said, I am shortening it for the elect's sake, lest I find no faith on the earth. They can't stand it either. After a while, you know, your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. And how long is the time? Now listen carefully. Take off your preconceived ideas. Be a child and hear, because this is God's good news to you. Revelation 9, God tells us who the Antichrist is. He gives them a Greek name, Apollyon, which means perdition. He gives them a Hebrew name, Abaddon, which means destroyer. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroyer. Perdition means to turn to ashes from within and be no more. Ezekiel 28, verse 17, 18, 19, Satan, King Tyrus, the devil, has been sentenced to perdition. And Revelation 9 says 2 times that the king of the bottomless pit time is 5 months. Now, if you want your 7 years or 3.5 years, you go right ahead, but I'll take the 5. 5 in biblical numerics means grace. We are saved by grace.
171, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me according to thy statutes.
Now, let's go back just a moment to Hezekiah's life. He was lying sick on his bed, and he asked God to heal him. God gave him 15 more years. And then the reason Hezekiah said, I want you to live, he said, because God, I want you to teach me your word. See, most people want to be healed so you can get on out there and have some more fun in this good world. You know why I've asked God to heal me, and he did, of cancer twice and other things? So I could teach God's word, because God has taught me. He'll teach you too. And then Hezekiah says, you've taught me your word, Lord, now I want to tell everybody I meet the word of God. It bubbles up. It's about to use the word utter, which means bubbles up. If you've got the truth in you, you couldn't keep your mouth shut. You would have to get on the phone. You'd have to get in your car. You'd have to go somewhere. You'd have to call somebody. You would have to say it if you had to preach to the rocks of the first earth age when Satan rebelled. And that's what brought sin into the equation. That's when Jesus said, I am the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He decided it then. Foundation catapulted Satan's rebellion. You could not keep quiet if you knew the truth.
172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, For all thy commandments are righteousness. 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts.
Of course, we'll be calling, Come, Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the right hand of power. When Jesus ascended, he went and sat down on the Father's throne at the right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. He's coming again, and his hand will save us. We're not going anywhere. He's just going to lock the devil in the abyss for 1,000 years.
174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. 175, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments.
Now, reading this in English, it seems that our good King Hezekiah, King of Judah, has gone astray. But what it means is, if in any way, just 1/16th of an inch, I get away from the straight and narrow, Jesus and the Bible, I would not do it because of the apostasy, because of the great cover-up, because of the lie-fly proverb, or because all the churches around me, you will be saying as an elect, are teaching the lie and thinking that the Antichrist is the devil. I would not be doing it intentionally. But if just for one moment, just one moment, I get this far away from you, Lord, and from your word, seek me. Seek me. Seek and ye shall find. And so, this masterpiece, 119, a masterpiece within a masterpiece. If you had no other word, you could get safely through life and on into eternity in Father's house through this Psalm 119. It is magnificent. It tells you how to gain salvation, how to gain deliverance, how to gain cleansing, how to gain strength, how to gain peace, how to gain guidance. It is a finished work of art. Psalm 119, it is finished. And next week we'll begin Psalm 120, which is a song of degrees. But right now it's time for a mystery moment. Paul says that you need to know the mystery of God. Now, as you know by now, there are seven trumps. A trump is an event, lights, camera, action. Jesus comes at the last one. He does not sneak in before then. He stays and waits the last one out, seven. The Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. That's coming up soon. We are now in the fifth seal, and the fifth trump, as Joel says, excuse me, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. So may we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Question number one. Sherry, where is it in the Bible about Susanna and Daniel? And please explain that story. Okay, it is not in your King James Bible. It was in the original Bible between Malachi and between Matthew. The Catholics left it in. The Protestants took it out. It's called the Apocrypha, the lost books of the Bible. Some of them should be canonized, some should not. But here's the story of Susanna. Excuse me. Susanna was a very beautiful young woman, and she went into her garden and decided to rest under her beautiful trees. And these two Kenite men, a Kenite, offspring of Cain, the child of the devil, they're in that seduction in the garden, walked into her garden and lusted after her. And she said, no. I tell you where to go. And so they said, if you will not let us have you, Suzanne, we're going to go and tell everybody that we caught you in the act of adultery, and they will stone you to death. She did not let them have her, and they went and told that lie all over town. And so some people came to Daniel, wise Daniel, yes, Daniel of our Bible. And they said, Daniel, have you heard about Susanna? Daniel said, what? So they said, the two Kenite men saw her committing adultery under one of the trees in her garden. Daniel, wiser than a serpent, harmless as dove, discernment of spirit, said, "Okay, bring them to me." So he said, "But bring them one by one. Leave one in the house and bring one out." So the first Kenite man came out, and Daniel said, "All right, now tell me, under which tree did you see Susanna committing adultery?" The man said, "Right there under that great oak tree. That was it. I saw her." "Thank you very much," said Daniel. "Go back into the house. Bring out the second Kenite." "Okay," says Daniel, "now tell me, under which tree did you see Susanna committing this vile act?" "Right there under that great fir tree," said the Kenite. Daniel said, "Hang them both and let Susanna go." And that's it. The Apocrypha, the book of 2 Esdras, probably should have been canonized. It is for the wise, as Daniel says. So that's it. The next question, dear Sherry Trumpet, who wrote the Bible? Almighty God wrote the Bible by his Holy Spirit. He dictated it to holy men of old. It is God-breathed. He's the author, and he's the finisher, and he's the star. Dear Sherry, I understand that all the races were created on the sixth day. They're in Genesis 1:26. Male and female made he them. You've taught us that the Hebrew word humankind, mankind in general, and that would be all the races, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And I understand that God said it is very good, that God loves all the races, which should forever just end any prejudice. But Sherry, what did the six-day creation do? What kind of work did they do? The six-day creation were the hunters and the fishermen. They hunted and they fished. But there was not a farmer yet. God rested on the seventh day. And then he looked and said, "I do not have a farmer," which leads to the next question. I understand, Sherry, that then, after he rested on the seventh day, he created a farmer to till the soil through whom Jesus would come, the man Adam, or as you tell us in Hebrew, Eth Ha'adam, a specific man. But it says that he took him a woman out of his rib. I'm lost there, Sherry. Please explain that. How can you make a woman out of a rib? And it said he took the rib from his side. Okay, the first thing you need to know is the word rib is not like tickle your ribs. It's C-U-R-V-E, curve. Now, how many sides did the man Adam have? He had a left side, he had a right side, he had a back side, he had a front side. And remember that it said he took the rib, or it means curve in the manuscripts, from the man, and then he sewed up from where he took the curve. Men, go take your shirts off, and you'll see where your curvy woman came from. That's it. I know you didn't hear it, but it's in the Bible. Sorry about that. It's time for us all to wake up and find out. Okay, here we go. Dear Sherry, what is the Elijah ministry? The Elijah ministry is the ministry that is even now beginning. The Elijah ministry would be any man or woman who tells you there are two fathers. In other words, the Elijah minister will always tell you that about that seduction in the garden, that Satan seduced Eve and was the father of Cain. In the book of Malachi, chapter 4, he says, "Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you the prophet Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers," plural, "to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers," plural. He says that. And Jesus said in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil." Of means children. Now, John the Baptist was a prophet, and he actually came in the spirit of Elijah. The Elijah ministry means the anointing of Elijah, not the person himself, the spirit of Elijah, which always tells you of two fathers. And so John the Baptist, his first sermon was, he said, "Ye generation of vipers." A viper is a serpent. He didn't mean a snake. It's just a symbol, low down like a snake. Generation in the Greek there means children, brood, seed. There you have it. The two witnesses that are coming now to hear the voice, to speak the voice of God, will tell you of the two fathers. There are two Elijah ministries now current, open on planet Earth that I know of. There may be others. One is the Shepherd's Chapel, and the other is Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. We tell you of the two fathers. We are the Elijah ministry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, for those of you who are sick, I've been getting your prayer request. My announcer will give you my telephone number, so please feel free to call and leave your prayer request, and I just appreciate your calls, and I am praying for you. I take that very seriously as a part of my ministry, to intercede in prayer for others. So now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Wherever there is pain, let the pain stop, for Jesus bore our pains. Wherever there's disease, let the dis be gone and let there be ease. Where something's missing, make a new one. Livers and colons and bladders and kidneys and hearts and lungs and legs, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions. Jesus is Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord who healeth thee. Now, the best kind of healing is salvation. I do pray that the Holy Spirit draws anyone who's lost under the sound of my voice, convicts and draws to the Father that you might be saved. Will you pray this prayer with me, lost person? And let the Lord right now write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and come to live with me in Father's house for all eternity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
Use me
to enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, when you call me, you might like to also call me and tell me that you were saved. Just before my announcer gives you my telephone number, you're going to hear me play a couple of measures on the piano. It's very anointed. To God be the glory. He anoints the music too. It's of the Our Father. And we do this so that our Father God will receive all of the honor and glory and praise for any fruit that has just been produced from this handmaiden through Trumpet of Truth. So Father, in Jesus' name, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come Sundays 5 p.m., Wednesdays 6:30 p.m. Stay in the Word, live the Word, love the Word, do the Word. Be kind to people. Everybody you meet's got a heavy load. Be gentle. Wipe away their tear. Feel their pain more than you feel yours. It'll bless you too. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. I love you. The Lord shamar you about, Hebrew word, hedge you about, cover you, be your wall. And God willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Live in the wonder of your love. like the sun in my heart. Even when the night draws near me, there you are. I will wait in the water of mercy. I will walk in the light of your will. Whatever should come against me, teach me to be still.
The grave, my redeemer. Darkness trembles.